So hello and welcome to the Dharma Life podcast. I'm your host, Aloise Surfleet Middleton, creator of the Dharma Life Academy and host of the Dharma Life podcast. And today I have with me an incredible woman whose work I've followed for years and years and years. And actually, she was the first person that I went to when everything kicked off. I thought, I know where I'm going to go and see and get some sense. And it was Magenta Pixie. So Magenta, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you, Aloise. Thank you so much for asking me. It's great that we've connected. Happy to be with you today.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. We were lucky enough to meet, weren't we, through the lovely, obviously I knew of your work, but meet through the lovely Charlie Freak on a Divine Feminine Round Table. And for those of you that don't know, I'm sure most people do, but if you don't, Magenta is the channel for the White Wind Collective. And you've been doing that for how long now, Magenta?
Well, online since 2008, but obviously privately before that. But yeah, I've been online since 2008, delivering the messages on YouTube.
And thank you for your messages, because I know it's been a massive comfort to myself, alone, everybody else watching this. So you just to acknowledge that and to really say thank you for the work you're doing, because I think at the moment people do need that grounded support that you give them.
Oh, thank you. Now that means a lot to hear.
No, my pleasure. Absolute pleasure. So I would love to pick your brains, Magenta. I've got loads of questions. As I said, I asked my community about what they would like to ask you. And there was just so many questions, but I've gone through and filtered the best ones. So we are in this incredible time at the moment, astrologically. There is a solar eclipse tomorrow when we're recording this, the Ring of Fire. Obviously, we've got all these planets in retrograde. So I would just love your thoughts, because we were talking before we came on about, you know, this is the culmination of a karmic cycle as well. So I'd really just love your thoughts on what is happening on the macrocosm and what is happening in our own, in a microcosm, in our personal lives.
Yeah, great question. Well, I'm told everything that is happening on the global stage, if you will, is a complete reflection of everything that's happening cosmically and astrologically. But we are all creating this multidimensional reality in the physical world. So if you look around, you will see people that are fully, I won't say stuck, but they only really access the third dimension. And then you've got people who are accessing more than that, harmonics above the third dimension into the fourth dimension, harmonics above that, just a model to explain this. And then you've got individuals who are at the higher fourth dimensional level and fifth. And it's been something that we've talked about in an intellectual way and in a spiritual way and in a philosophical way for years and years and years as a human race. But now it's playing out physically. Mm. And these eclipses are really, really powerful. The total lunar eclipse on the 26th of May, and then we have the solar eclipse tomorrow. And we're going into that energy today, in that solar energy today, which kind of peaks tomorrow. This sort of ring of fire energy, this is very much about taking that energy, connecting with it. But that fire is, I'm told, like a plasma or a photonic light. And we were talking about this karmic accumulation of integration. But if you look further with that, what this really is us connecting to our divine memories, and not just memories of who we were in other past lives, memories of who we are on a group soul level. Those who are in 5D are the only ones that are able to actually do this consciously, but it's filtering down into all the other individuals on the planet as well, which is creating an internal confusion. And of course, this is playing out in the third dimension, as I've said many times before, complete chaos. And we have other groups that don't want this awakening, that they don't want us to connect with this higher plasma light that's going to transform us into these light beings. They don't want that to happen. So they're using this whole scenario to try to hijack it. So what they're doing is looking at the organic presentation, and then they are creating like a false presentation, if you will. It's almost like, let's say somebody wrote a book about multiple prophecies, 10 prophecies, let's say, for example, absolutely organic and going to come to pass. Mm-hmm. It's like what they've done is taken the prophecies and fulfilled them all themselves in a fake way. Right. And that, so they're taking advantage of that. So we have got so much going on right now on the global stage in this multidimensional way. And it is not easy to be grounded in this, and it's not easy to keep a clear head. And those that have the dimensional viewpoint are the ones that are, I won't say sailing through this because it's exactly like that, but those in the fifth dimensional consciousness are finding, if you will, the open-hearted space and the joy and the togetherness and the connection through this, despite all these terrible things that are going on that appear to be dire, if you will. Those individuals that are truly anchored within the fifth dimension and are able to embrace the third dimension as well, they are finding things much easier and they're able to access these higher energies. Now, this is going to increase even more with this solar eclipse tomorrow, because people are waking up all the time. And I don't just mean their awareness or their thoughts. Their energies are waking up as well. So more and more people are connecting with astrology. And even if they don't intellectually understand it, they're feeling the energy. Mm. People are becoming empathic, which is difficult for those in 3D because they're empathizing with energies that are lower and negative and dark. But there are other individuals. Let's say, for example, those individuals who choose not to take the
Maxine,
the Maxinated juice or you know, Jezebel juice or Maxine or V or whatever you want to call it. Those that choose not to take it, but they don't know why. They don't have any awareness of ascension or spirituality, but they just feel inside, intuitively, it just doesn't feel right to them. Mm-hmm. Those individuals are becoming empathic, even though they may not know this intellectually. And then, of course, we will have at some point individuals who have taken the Maxinated juice that also do allow themselves to be receptive to these energies and wake up to a certain extent as well. And they will then change their pathway, even though they may have missed that physical choice, which is the physical choice for ascension or not, as in, do we access those memories or not? So tomorrow is so significant because it is bringing that photonic light, that cosmic memory, that plasma, bringing it physically to us. This is an antimatter reality. It's something we can find within. Mm-hmm. But the ring of fire at the time of the eclipse presents it physically. It creates a physical energy. It makes the plasma real, if you will. And so we respond within our DNA with this fire. But the nine spell fire, P-H-I-R-E, as well as F-I-R-E, because it's this mathematical frequency that takes place within the DNA that takes us into this memory. So yes, tomorrow is a powerful day for those who are able to connect with that energy and even for those who are not. But those who are caught in the third dimension and those who have perhaps taken this Maxinated juice and those who are not receptive to these higher energies, the ring of fire is going to be difficult for them to handle those energies because it's a huge, huge amplifier of everything.
Fantastic.
We were told this before. The nine were talking about this amplification of the ascension times before last year, before the beginning of 2020, before all of this happened. We knew that there would come a time where it's like this huge solar light is being shone on everyone and all of their matrix, all of everything that makes them who they are is brought up to the fore. And that includes trauma and it includes lower negative emotions. So that's why it looks like chaos, because we are waking up in degrees and we still have people refusing to wake up and in total resistance to it, as well as having those been awake for years and years and years. So we have a real, real multidimensional presentation of frequency and activation on this planet right now. And those who are, if you will, observing this planet from other planetary systems, other dimensional points of perspective, are very, very interested in what's happening here. Because I'm told from the nine that what's happening here is unique and that never before has there been such a diversity of energy coming together at the same time. And this is very, very linked and culminates at this solar eclipse point tomorrow. So, which, as I said, we're going into the energy of that today. So powerful energy.
Yeah, fantastic. And the way I understand it is it's almost like, obviously, you were talking about the negative kind of lower level energy inside of people coming up, because as higher energy comes in, it almost has to sort of push up and out anything that needs to be healed almost and seen. And what I've witnessed is, I feel like that was my journey however many years ago. I could go through that now. So you and I have gone through a lot of that, so we can be the way showers to people and show them, actually, it's okay. When you do your healing work, when you take self-responsibility, you can actually create an incredible life. And we're waving that flag and saying, come this way.
Exactly. And we didn't necessarily want to do that on a conscious level. We didn't necessarily sign up for that on a conscious level. Of course, we, you know, from the higher perspective. Mm. But obviously, those individuals that are sort of showing the way, as you say, way showers, they would have gone through this years before. So that was very difficult for those individuals because it wasn't happening collectively. Mm. So they were going through an individual process that was so far removed from how the physical reality was presenting. Most of those individuals, potentially all of them, will have at some point have thought to themselves, am I going crazy? Mm. Or am I actually crazy? You know, am I mad here? You know, what's wrong with me? Because it was so out of place. But obviously those individuals had to go through this earlier so that when the time came that the collective would go through this, they were already in a place where they'd been through this and were able to help the others through. And that's really what it's about. Yeah. In multiple degrees of individuals who are awakened in all different walks of life, in all different ways, in all different subject matter, in all different systems, that awakening is there. So what it means for everyone now is anyone who wakes up, they will be able to find a person
to support them
straight Absolutely. Away and very quickly if they align themselves with needing and wanting and desiring and calling for someone who can assist them through. They will find that, whereas we didn't necessarily have that. Some of us were alone. Some of us were lucky enough to have one or two that were like us, but there was a reason why we had to be separate, because we hadn't moved into the full memory of everything. All we had was this imprint which was saying to us, I need to connect with my tribe. I need to connect with my soul people. Where are they? Where are they? And we had to hold that knowing, but not activate it until kind of now. And that was difficult for the starseeds, because many of them knew that they were supposed to connect with their tribe in childhood. And they couldn't find their tribe in childhood. And they knew that they were out of place, even in their own families.
You just described the first 25 to 30 years of my life, I think, then.
That's it.
Yeah, like nervous breakdown at 21, drug and alcohol problems, depression, and then always felt weird, always felt different, never fitted in. And it was only when I created an organization in my late 20s, early 30s of starseeds and transformational leaders that I felt like I'd come home. But now I know it's the best training, because then obviously when somebody comes to me, I know exactly what they're going through and where they're at. And
exactly.
The empathy that it builds for us is incredible. And do you mind expanding on, because we were talking as well about past lives and karma, because I also feel like what I can feel and see and witness and observe in people around me is it's almost like we're straddling two worlds at the moment. And on a kind of personal level as well, it's almost like the pressure is building and we're kind of leaving our old life and going into our new life. Like a lot of people I'm seeing, obviously leaving their 3D jobs and, you know, wanting to build more into the 5D, their purpose. But it's like this pressure is building. And I feel like we are coming to the end of a karmic cycle, but I would just love to get your opinion on that.
We absolutely are, because that is the ascension. That is the whole singularity. We're all going back to zero point. But as I said, it happens in degrees. And with karma, people misunderstand, you know, and feel that karma is some kind of punishment. So if you do this, you get that in return. Whereas it isn't really like that. Karma is simply the law of balance. It's an energy that you create through living your life. Now, those who have gone through this process and are now embracing the fifth dimension once they're in 5D, that doesn't mean you leave 3D behind, but once they are in 5D, when they are in the 5D perspective, which is akin to and not fully a zero point, but the zero point is found within that fifth dimensional experience. When they are there, they're said to be, if you will, karma free. What that really means is they are not accumulating more karma because they're in a neutral zone in the way that they are living their lives. Mm. And because they're in service, any karmic energy that they're creating is predominantly very positive. And even if they may make, if you will, a mistake, and there is no such thing really, but even if they sort of go off track slightly, because predominantly their energy is in service, they're balancing that out. They are individuals who have polarized within the service to others vibration. They've polarized as positive beings. So they could be said to be karma free, which is simply just a term to explain that they're not accumulating more of this equal and opposite reaction that is there for lessons and learning. That still happens, but it happens in a different way in the fifth dimension. It's instantaneous. So when you put something out energetically, it's there as a mirror for you almost immediately.
You're creating your reality.
Exactly. You're creating your reality, but you are seeing the creation simultaneously as you create. So the creation and the creator become one. Those who haven't quite got there yet and who are in this third dimensional existence and haven't sort of woken up or dealt with any shadow work or working with their traumas, that's why things are so difficult for them, because they are now
coming up.
And it's not, yes. And on the one hand, this solar energy, this fire is shining a light upon those traumas. But on the other hand, there is a hijacking going on, as we are all fully aware. So it's much more difficult for them to find the way to be receptive to this energy, because they're being hijacked all the time, every single day, with everything that they hear in the false narrative reality and everything that they do and all the thoughts and beliefs that they hold are perpetuating this false reality. So they're caught in a karmic cycle where they can't become, if you will, karma free like us. So what the Nine have said is, if you want to look at that in a wider perspective, we are taking on, if you will, the karma of others. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that literally. If somebody else does something bad, we're not being punished for it. That isn't what it means. But what it means is those that are in that fifth dimensional consciousness together create this alchemical unification or network where we are holding that higher frequency for those who cannot. And we're always there for them should they find a way out of this hijacking. So there's multiple levels to this whole sort of karmic integration or karmic reintegration that is going on. And you can kind of feel it. If you feel lighter and more connected with all things, if you feel that sense of unity, that's 5D, that's the zero point, that's the karma free zone, the karma free place. But that doesn't mean we have escaped the third dimension, because we're still subject to 3D and we're still subject to what's happening, but we don't necessarily get caught up in the hijacking. We are able to see it and we are able to find ways in our lives to bypass it. However, it affects us because it's affecting our loved ones. So that karma-free energy doesn't make us completely out of it, but then that's not the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be here to be in the reality with everyone and share with them what they're going through in this hijacking, so that we can assist them from this higher perspective. And that is what is meant by we're taking on the karma of others, because we are. It would be very easy for all of us in 5D to just get together and go and live on an island and just leave the rest of the people behind. You know, you've all made a mistake. You've all taken the maximum juice. You've all done this, that, and the other. You've fallen for the big game. We don't want anything to do with you. We're off. It would be easy for us to do that. And we could be sitting in bliss on an island together. That is something that's there for us in the future. I mean, we can do that. And there will be times when we do connect together in that way, where we leave everything else behind and we truly find our tribe after all these years. but we aren't supposed to just escape from it. We are supposed to be there. And for that reason, we do take on the karma of others because we empathize with them, especially when they're our family and they're our loved ones. So that is going on big time right now.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you have done your inner work and when you've, you know, you've worked on your shadow and you've integrated your inner child, you know, you can see clearly, and you can see the illusion. So you can see that actually with everyone walking around behaving, it's just crazy. Like, you know, my husband and I went out for lunch the other day and we're outside and there's people going up to order their food outside wearing these things. And I'm like, how do people just not see this? It's like you're living, you're completely wide awake and everybody else is completely fast asleep. And so I find it like really interesting to observe. But of course, exactly what you're saying is obviously our family are still caught in that illusion and that is real to them. That perspective is real to them and therefore they are creating it. And I think this is what I'd like to talk about next is, you know, this is the importance of why, you know, your audience and my audience are committed to doing their inner work, because actually when you do that, you can have the empathy, you understand who's projecting onto you, who's not, what's yours, what's not, what you've got to take responsibility for. And like you said, you've got this sense of real compassion for people for where they're at. And that's, we're here to support them through that, really, aren't we?
We are, but it isn't easy. It's not easy. And many starseeds can become very frustrated and get to the point where they're saying, look, I can't do this. You know, I don't want to support these people. They've all made these crazy mistakes and I just need to be in my own bliss bubble, if you will. So that's burnout and it's okay to be there. And if that's how you feel, it's okay to retreat and go into your bliss bubble and do whatever it takes to get yourself back to a state of equilibrium. If you are in whatever way affected by what's going on, then you're not in a place to be able to help people at that point. So it's okay. You're not failing. You can take some time off from your mission.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wait until you come back to that central point when you are ready to help. So yes, it's very difficult. But for those who are in the place where they can help, then compassion is absolutely a number one emotion to hold, because when you have that, you can see that these individuals are good people. I mean, obviously not all of them, but many are good people. They're kind, they're innocent, and they're confused, and they desperately need some help. But what we offer is so beyond their ability to see that they can't see it. And so they perceive it as nonsense or madness. And then they get angry because they can't see that is going
An
to
attack.
Help them. Exactly, exactly, absolutely. They see it as attack until they get to such a point where they are receptive. And that's happening all the time. More people are getting to that point where they are in the false narrative. They haven't seen what is true, but they're waiting for truth to come to them, and they're calling it within every cell of their being. And that is another energy that the Ring of Fire Golden Stargate tomorrow, solar eclipse, is going to radiate. It's allowing people to come to this point. It's like, if you imagine astral projection, you're lying there asleep with astral projection or out of body experience, what actually happens, and anyone who's had this happen to them will know what I mean. You are lying there with your eyes open, looking around your room in your astral body while your actual eyes are asleep, your physical eyes are closed, but you don't realize that because you've got these astral eyes and they're fully open and you're seeing everything. That's the higher activation of the pineal gland. But you haven't actually come out of your body yet and gone exploring around your house or flown out of your window and gone exploring other planets or dimensions. You're just lying in your body. You think you're awake. You don't realize you're asleep. And at that point, you're looking around and thinking, I feel wide awake right now, but why does this feel strange? And how come my curtains are normally blue, but today they're pink? Why have they changed the color? Why is there that ornament has moved, or something will be different? And then they come to the realization, I'm in my astral body. Or maybe they don't understand about astral projection, so they'll work it out for themselves through coming out of the body or whatever experience they go through. So it's the same thing. These people are living in the false narrative, but they are, it's almost like their eyes are open to the fact that there is another truth, but they haven't quite taken the leap yet to discover what it is. Now, when they are in that state, they're in complete receptivity. And the soul of sort of, I say soul of flare, I mean, that is what's happening really energetically and in the photonic antimatter reality. We've got this photonic light surge, if you will, an inner solar flare that is taking place tomorrow with this eclipse. That allows those people to stay in that place for much longer periods. So instead of becoming receptive for a few minutes and then not, because they're focused on their everyday life and they haven't realized they'd come to that point, they'll stay in that receptivity to look for longer. And that is when synchronicity starts happening. And they happen to meet someone who is awake, who gives them the information that they're exactly looking for, or they find a book, or they find a video, or they stumble across our interview, or whatever it may be. So that's all set for today, tomorrow, and the day after, as a longer period of time that people are in that receptivity. And as I said, those that don't want us to awaken are aware of that, which is why they're doing so much in every country to try to bring people down into a lethargy, a depression, and all sorts of other lower negative emotions, frustration, anger, confusion, all of those things, to prevent them coming to this place of total receptivity. However, it's not worked. It's not possible to change a destiny that's an inevitability that is cosmic. You cannot change the movements of the planets. You can't stop an eclipse. It hasn't worked. There will, basically what I'm saying is there's another awakening, and it's going to be another profound awakening, and it's happening now.
Fantastic. And so am I correct in thinking it's almost twofold? Because what you're saying is there's this beautiful synchronicity that's going to come and going to happen, receptivity for people, but there's also the ramping up of the anything that's uncomfortable for them, anything they haven't looked at, anything they haven't healed, that's going to kind of almost get personified as well. So they're getting, there's the positive, but there's the negative almost rising to the surface as well.
Exactly. And that's what's being hijacked. They know that the individuals haven't dealt, they haven't given them time to, whether it's they or whether it's reality itself. Some individuals just haven't had the time or found the space to go through the shadow work and the integration. So they are far easier to manipulate because their fears haven't been integrated yet. So you can play on their fears.
And the amount
that's what they're doing.
The amount of people my parents' age, my parents included, safety, that was the number one reason they got it, the vaccine. It's, root chakra sharp.
Oh,
don't feel safe, And like you said, it is sad, especially when you understand it. You understand that obviously this ascension process, opening our energy centers and raising our vibration, is what we should be doing. And obviously everybody's kind of, in that generation are quite closed down to it all, really.
Yes, they are. I'm very pleased that one of my family members, older family members, all her life she had a fear of medical situations and doctors, and that meant as kids we were hardly ever taken to the doctor, which wasn't necessarily a good thing all the time. But do you know what, potentially that's saved her life, because she obviously won't go for vaccinated juice. But that inability to feel safe has therefore stayed, so she's having to find other ways to feel safe, but she won't be doing it through the juice because of the terrible fear of medical situations. So what we thought was a curse and a real pain has actually the best thing ever. And this is the thing with everyone. There are things that have happened in your life for years and years and years that occurred to guide you right now. Every single person has that on some level, even if they're completely caught up in 3D.
Yeah, everything's a blessing, everything's a lesson, everything happens for a reason. So,
and exactly.
Am I right in thinking this is going to continue then with the retrogrades? And how long is this? Is this just now ongoing, what you're describing?
So I don't really know much about the retrogrades. I'm not really that well versed in astrology. I just know what the nine show me, which obviously does seem to parallel astrology. In fact, if I need any astrological questions answered, I go to Pam Gregory. who is a really good friend of mine, and Laura Eisenhower. Those two together will sort of give me any information that I might need. But energetically, obviously what's happening with the eclipse is like a culmination point of this, taking those individuals to this point of receptivity. So we have another awakening. That energy doesn't continue for a while, because the next thing that occurs is the integration of the awakening that they have just gone through, which is like a mini ascension point. But if you mean, does this entire global pattern continue for a while, as in another wave of awakening and another wave of awakening and more attempt at hijacking and more attempt at healing? Yes, that continues for a while in various different ways, which is why I always say what we're going through right now is a 5D chess game. And lots of people will say, oh, the light is winning, or, you know, white hats are winning, or patriots are in control. And whilst that's got truth to it in certain areas, it isn't really true on the whole full third dimensional play out, because there's still hijacking and power coming in from the other faction. Mm-hmm. So it's a 5D chess game with moves on either side, rather than either side being in control. However, if you do look energetically at this, the light is bigger than the dark. Yes, that's true.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. And talking about culmination, because we mentioned as well about how this lifetime is almost a culmination of, we were talking about past lives before we came on, you know, and obviously we've been through however many, 25, 30, obviously everybody's different how many past lives they've had, but from what I understand, that this is almost like a culmination of our gifts, everything coming together, like we said, soul family, connections coming back in. So I'd just love to hear your perspective on that, because that's certainly what it feels like for me. You know, I have my kind of past life buddies all around me. It's wonderful. It's quite exciting, actually.
Yeah. So that's ascension that you just explained. And so what's actually happening, if you will, is those individuals who are on that path, from a physical matter point of view, and from a point of view where you chose to undertake a journey, you are coming to a point where this is, if you will, your last life. There's more to it than that, but this is your last life in a third dimensional physical body. This is the culmination of the journey that you undertook at the beginning of this incarnational cycle. So ascension is like a huge opportunity, a huge gateway where the gates have been closed for millennia, and those gates open, and everyone who can align with those gates, because the gates are made of golden light, if you will, and everyone who has matching light to those golden gates, if you will, are able to pass through them. So what actually happens then is you then get to a point of self-actualization and individualization, where you take the perspective of the oversoul or the group soul mind, so that when you choose to go into a matter reality, the choice comes from you rather than from a higher guidance that's choosing for you. But there's more to it than that as well, because there are individuals who already were there, who chose to come back into this soul's journey. So there are some individuals who this is, if you will, and everything on this level is metaphor, if you will, it's the first time they've undertaken this soul's journey of reincarnation, and this is their first ascension, as in this is the first time they've walked through the golden gate. Then there are others who've done it before, but they chose in service to come back lead those others that were awakened through those golden gates. They may have been through the golden gates a million times, but they are those that choose, I'm going to go to planet Earth. I'm going to start again at the beginning of this journey. And some souls have come in right just for this life. They haven't had loads and loads of lifetimes. Some souls have started right at the beginning of this spark that is Earth, if you will, and gone through multiple incarnations. Now, when they do that, they also are subject to the frequency of the third dimensional Earth reality. So they risk losing their memories. So you have all these different types of souls that are going through this ascension process together. So if you look at the individuals who kind of out there and in some way are teaching and helping large groups of others, they are most probably individuals who on a soul level have been through ascension before. And some of them will have come in just for this lifetime and others will have been here. I mean, I know for me, I'm aware of my journey. I know that I've been here since the beginning of Earth's spark, and I've had multiple lifetimes as human in this ascension cycle to be here for now. But that's just me individually. There are multiple different soul paths. So it's a culmination, as you say. Absolutely, it's a culmination. And it's not just a culmination of that. It's almost as though there are multiple pathways, multiple journeys, if you will, multiple cycles, and they're all coming together into one movement that syncs up together. And that is the inevitability, which is this huge singularity or vortex that is galactic. It's within the DNA, it's consciousness itself. And this pulsing energy is pouring out of this central point of this singularity. And on a physical level in matter, that would be the center of our galaxy. That would be the central zone within our galaxy on a matter point of view. But it's more than that. This is actually an antimatter creation of this particular sector of consciousness, if you will. Hard to give it a name, but there are multiple of these spirals, of these vortices, and they all join together to create this big sort of flower of life. It's an infinite structure. It's a complete and utter unity. And we are branching off of one of them on a consciousness level. And we're all moving back to the center. So all the other ones, all the other flowers, are us in different alternate realities. Mm. So an alternate Aloise, an alternate Magenta. That Aloise may be, she's got long dark hair. Maybe Magenta's got a different outfit on, or is in a different house, or whatever. All of those alternate realities are all coming together. So the culmination you're talking about is absolutely quantum on all of these levels. And it's all culminating together at this point, which is why it's so exciting. And which is why you have these other galactic beings and intelligences and perspectives that are so interested in what's happening with 3D Earth at the moment.
Mm, amazing. So for our listeners, what should they be doing then to make sure that they are really making the most of this energy? How can they really be showing up and doing what they need to be doing?
So it's tuning into self and having a really good connection with your intuition, because every single person's path is different. Every single person's path is unique. So it's tuning inward. And you're doing this in the moment and more now than ever, because obviously we have all of these third dimensional challenges to move between and certain pitfalls to avoid, if you will. So we need our intuition now more than ever. So it's like, where should I be at this time? And there are multiple things you can do. I mean, you can sit in meditation. You can simply just sort of stare out the window at nature. You can go hug a tree. You can drink a really powerful green smoothie and allow the organic plant matter that you've just consumed to talk to you. One thing I do, actually, I do this on and off, but I've been doing this a lot lately. I have this little crystal skull. It's actually jasper crystal. I've spoken before about how all actual crystal skulls are a network, and they join with all the crystal skulls. And there are actually some crystal skulls on this planet that were created for us now. And they are not of any earthly crystal. These are antimatter, multidimensional, extraterrestrial crystal skulls. And then all the little crystal skulls of any type will connect with them. So you can look into the, I mean, some people don't like doing this. If it doesn't resonate with you, don't do it.
Sure.
But it resonates with me massively. I absolutely love it. Some people will love the crystal skull work. It's actually quite a male path, I have to say. So the crystal females will love the crystals, but may not actually like the crystal skull work. Indigo females, that's more of a fiery energy. And it's the perfect work to do at the time of the solar eclipse. So I hold my crystal skull, get it in the view, and I look into his eyes. And then I allow myself to, through him, because this is an intelligence, this is a crystalline intelligence. It's like, if you will, the real technology, the real organic technology, the real computer is a crystal skull network. And so I look into his eyes and I will ask him, where should I be right now? What should I be doing? Do you have any advice for me? Can you assist me in this or that or whatever it may be, either specific or not? So that's one thing I do. And it, with the crystals, that network is always there for you. So you can communicate with your crystal skull network whenever you want. But there are other things you can do. For example, bibliomancy with a book. Take a book that's meaningful to you, a spiritual book that you love, and hold the book and, you know, flick through the pages, ask a question, and then land on a page and decide is when I open the book and I'm going to go on the left page and I'm going to go halfway down and then read the paragraph or the word or the sentence and align that to the situation that you have in your mind or the question that you have. And you will find that if you, with this, it's not something you can do all the time, because that is working on synchronicity, like a tarot card reading. You're using the book as a tarot card. So tarot cards or oracle cards are another thing that you can use for this divination. But these are energies you wouldn't use too much, because you have to know how to ride the waves of synchronicity. It isn't going to come at you constantly. It's a sine wave. So you would do bibliomancy every so often, whereas the crystal skull network is there for you all the time. Then there's dream divination before you go to sleep, have the situation in your mind or the question, and then go to sleep. And then when you wake up, look at your dream as the presentation of the response. These things work.
Everything's talking to you.
It's just another way of discovering your intuition. That's the key right now. There is no should as to what you should be doing. You know, if I were to say, oh, you should be meditating under a willow tree, or you should be staying away from vaccinated people and crowds, or you should be gathering with friends and having some kind of spiritual dance in the sunshine. There's no should. There's no should. It's what is right for you in that unique way with your intuition.
And I think what you're describing beautifully is, you know, when we are doing this inner work and we build this sense of connection, you know, again, to our higher self, to our guides, we feel supported. And obviously we don't have to worry about anything, because we are guided, we are being led. Like you said, there's lots of ways to connect with that divine intuition and that guidance, you know, as you described, the tarot cards, the divination, you know, whatever it is that floats your boat. I use a pendulum, you know, whatever that may be. But I think the point is as we do our inner work and we build a sense of connection to our higher self, we just feel this sense of, I don't worry about that stuff because I know I'll always be guided and pointed in the right direction. It's just becoming conscious of that and building a connection with that, so you feel that support.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And I think this is something that people outside of, let's say, the New Age community or the light worker community, they don't understand. They don't get it. No. They will look at you and hear you saying, I'm supported and I'm guided. And they will say, you are giving your power away to an outside entity. And that's what's so wrong with the New Age. You're all giving your power away to unicorns and rainbows and ascended masters. And that is not right. That's bypassing. Now, whilst that can be the case, that is not the case on a overall predominant level. Those people don't understand this movement. It is not that, because those guides and those unicorns and rainbows are you. And when you're aware that they're you, when you're aware
everything
that they're
the
subconscious aspect and they're part of your intuition, then you are in unification with them, and you're not giving your power away whatsoever. You are actually radiating your power and standing in your power.
So and you realize that you are God. Basically, God is you and you are God.
Absolutely.
And I just got a lovely as we were having that conversation, very beautiful confirmation. So Magenta, I could talk to you all day, because I just love your work, your stand for what you do in life. I really want to give you a chance to talk about your books, because is it 9 books you've written?
I've got five books that are sort of out there. I've got 6 books sitting in my computer.
A lot, though, still.
Shit. But five.
It's a lot of books.
Five are out there. Yeah, and so, you know, obviously I've spoken about my books a lot. So very briefly, I didn't realise at the time that the information coming through was relevant for now. I mean, it's not just the books, it's the entire body of work on YouTube since I got online in 2008. Obviously, the videos and the books were relevant for then, but everything, as you were talking about culmination, everything is a culmination and leading up to this time period we're now in. So the books were written before everything sort of happened at the beginning of 2020, but they are very relevant for now, especially the Black Box Program and the Rose Gold Flame as antidote, as that is specific to, let's say, electronic signals that can be put up in towers, and also to Jezebel juice vaccination chemical substances. So all of that was in that book, and that was already sort of written before everything happened yesterday. So the first three books, which I didn't know about, I didn't plan to write them this way, everything came through from that perspective that I refer to as the nine. The first one I thought would be a video, and it turned out to be much longer, and I realized it was a book. So the first three sort of follow on, and they hold this sort of structure that is about mastery and the understanding and the connection with the matrix. So the first book, Masters of the Matrix, is about matrix awareness. What is your matrix? And your matrix is your soul. And the memories that I was talking about in the photonic light and that morphogenetic field that we are seeing in matter tomorrow with this eclipse, that is the matrix. But it's the matrix within you. It's your personalized matrix, which is one and the same thing as the actual field, if you will, of multiple matrices. There's only one matrix, and there are infinite numbers of matrices as well. They're both true. So that first book is matrix awareness. Yourself individually and beyond, matrix awareness. And within that is also matrix mastery. How do you nice. Master your matrix? Yeah. Which is really important work for now.
I agree. Because
that's very akin to sort of the black flame work that I've been talking about, which is the antidote or the shielding, if you will, to this whole sort of rogue signal that's being broadcast within those who've chosen to drink the juice. So that's matrix awareness and matrix mastery. The next book, Divine Architecture and the Starseed Template, is matrix architecture, which is where you build your matrix. So your matrix is already there, but you can't understand it and know it until you construct it. So it's just like you having lived your life and never ever looked inside a mirror or a pool of water. You've never seen your reflection. You know you exist. You know you have a face, but you've never seen your own face. You've never seen your own reflection. And you look in the mirror for the first time. So that's what matrix architecture is. You construct your architecture. And by doing that, you understand it. So this is the DNA as well. You are constructing or reconstructing your DNA. And then the third book is Infinite Helix and the Emerald Flame. And that goes into matrix transportation. So what is the matrix? Is it a spaceship? Is it a UFO? Is it a plasma field that you can move? So it's about movement within the matrix. The next book that I'm writing at the moment is about matrix. It is about matrix unification, alchemical unification. The alchemy of unifying the one matrix with all the unified matrices. And how does that translate to your spiritual path and in real life? And then in between those three that follow on, that I wrote two others that were results of many questions being asked by people. And I went away to write an article, and that turned into a little book. So Black Box Program and the Rose Gold Flame as Antidote was in response to kind of what's going on in the truth community, and obviously what about these towers that radiate frequency. That was kind of the main question, and that transmission came through in response to those questions. Lessons from a Living Lemuria. Someone asked me about karma specific to nutrition. Basically, if you eat meat, is there karma? If you eat animal flesh and animal products, is there karma? And should you be plant-based? Should you be vegan, basically? So Lessons from a Living Lemuria is the response to that, because I took all these questions that I was getting because I replied to this one poster and then had an absolute huge backlash of questions and attacks in response to my response to that person from all the vegans, the non-vegans, the paleos, and all of the different ways of eating. Do you know what? That question, that subject matter is more volatile than absolutely anything. I mean, it was just crazy. It was worse than the man himself, who was in a powerful position in the US. It was more, controversial than that. So obviously that turned into a book as well. But the nine don't just talk about nutrition or about karma. There's other information in the book as well, because everything's connected.
Sure.
Every single subject matter that you can think of is connected, because it's all about our personal experience. And our personal experience is that which goes back to the source consciousness, so that zero point antimatter field of intelligence can know itself. And that's the memory that gets held within that morphogenetic field. So we are doing far more when we're here than assisting humans through ascension. Mm. Our own experiences and our memories, we're not just regaining our memories through accessing the morphogenetic field. We are putting the experiences that we have in this lifetime and all the realizations we've gone through, all the epiphanies we've had, when we're cohesive with our journey, that goes back into the morphogenetic field and becomes part of it. So we're immortal when we do that. We live forever when we do that. And that's the aim here. Immortality and individualization is the journey that we are on. Mm. So those who have taken the Jezebel juice, that's designed to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, stops that, absolutely.
I'm not saying that every single person who has taken it will be prevented from this happening. There may well be a small, rare group of individuals who are able
to. That's what it was designed to do, basically, is what
you're
saying.
That's what it's designed to do, and it will work to a degree.
Of course.
So those individuals have chosen not to go through this experience of accumulating memory and giving their memories back into that field. And that is the journey of every soul, because we have a physical life journey and a soul journey as well. So you're talking so much about culmination.
Yes,
this,
of course.
This lifetime is the culmination of all that.
Yeah, wow. Wow, incredible. And by the sounds of things, people can absolutely tap into your books and get a thorough understanding of whatever a topic that they need. It sounds like you've covered, everything. Amazing. So I really thank you for sharing your wisdom.
Oh, thank you, Eloise. It's been an absolute honor to connect with you. Thank you.
And we will see you next week, guys, with another incredible guest on the Dharma Life podcast. And please, obviously, Magenta, we'll have all of Magenta's details in the show notes, so you can go and check out her website, magentapixie.com. But again, thank you, Magenta. We really loved having you. And I know my audience will absolutely be over the moon to have us together.
Thank you.
See you soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Dharma Life podcast. I do hope you enjoyed this episode. Please come over and say hello on my Instagram, our Facebook group, and also please let me know what you thought. So if you are listening, please take a screenshot of the podcast that you are listening to. Tag me on Instagram and I will reshare your post. And please let me know what it is that you got out of today's episode. Remember, when we do our Dharma, we are happier, healthier, we live longer, and we have a deep sense of unshakable inner peace.